This is a sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church.
It's a Sunday. So what John is referring to here is that on the Friday, Jesus was on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. And we saw, actually on Good Friday, we talked about that Jesus at the cross dealt with sin. He took the sin of the world, only God could do this. He took the sin of the world and he absorbed it into his body. He took it. Romans somewhere says that he became sin for us. And so Jesus dealt with sin. Jesus also dealt with darkness. Satan, the devil, he dealt with that. He also dealt with death, destroyed death. And all of those things happened at the cross, and we won't see the fulfillment of those until Jesus returns, whenever that will be. And we said how the cross is a bit like D-Day during the Second World War. D-Day is when the Allied troops landed in Normandy, and from that point on, historians would say the war was always going to be won by the Allies, but it took 11 months to actually make that complete. And the cross is like our D-Day. And VE Day is when Jesus returns and it's all completed. We also saw on Friday how that Jesus on the cross is demonstrating not just those things, dealing with sin and darkness and death, but he's also demonstrating an eternal reality. He's showing what God is always like. Jesus hanging on the cross is showing what God is always like. What do you mean? Well, what he's doing is he's showing that God is always self-giving. He's always giving of himself. And we read from John chapter 1 how from the beginning, from the origin, before creation, before the world was made, there was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the Father poured his love and his life into his Son, and his Son poured his love and his life into the Father, and the love and the life that flowed between them is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is demonstrating that pouring out of his life at the cross, that's what God is always doing. And so here on the evening of the first day, so 3 days later, so on the Sunday morning, the disciples were together. Now, the disciples do not yet know fully that Jesus has risen. They've heard from Mary Magdalene. But you know what it's like when you hear news that you're not 100% sure about, you know. And so they've heard this news, but it's like, can it be? Is it possible? How can that be? We saw him die on the cross. We know that Romans know how to kill people. There's no way that he's back. They cannot believe it. And they are, I don't know, I like to try and put myself in their position. So you imagine, you know that Jesus has died on the cross. You know that he's been buried. Then you have a whole Saturday to think about that, to ponder that, to think, how did that, this isn't how it was meant to be. How has this happened? How is this possible? Because they have watched Jesus for 3 years live an inexplicable life. They've watched Jesus heal the sick. They've watched that with their own eyes. They've watched people that were lame walking. They've watched lepers being cleansed. They've watched people with blind eyes seeing. They've watched and been involved with, in fact, people being fed, thousands of people being fed by a small boy's lunch. They've watched Jesus walk on the water. They have seen in Jesus an inexplicable life. And Jesus describes himself, this inexplicable life, as living life in the kingdom of God. And he has been teaching them and modeling and demonstrating for them a different kind of life. A different kind of life. And so suddenly, when he's taken from them, they're like, what did all that mean? Was it really a different kind of life? How has this happened? And so they're there together And it says there, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. The same people that crucified Jesus are still out there. And they're anxious. They're worried that they're going to come for them as well. And in the middle of that, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus came and stood among them. You have to imagine that moment. Imagine right now. Can you imagine that? We're just here doing our church thing. And then in the middle of the room, Jesus appears. What would that be like? What would we do? Would we just sit here? Oh, Jesus has arrived. Or would we be, what's going on? And get down on our knees in front of him and worship him. How is this possible, Lord? You know, just an incredible moment to kind of sit with and imagine. You know, when you get up on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, wherever it is, and you just think, you know, what shall I think about today? How shall I start my day? Well, imagine that. Imagine that as a start of your day. Jesus being right there with them. So he's not come through the door. He's just appeared in front of them. And he says this, peace be with you. Now, that's probably a good thing to say because they were probably terrified initially. How is this possible? But when he says peace, he doesn't mean the absence of stress or strife. When Jesus says the word peace, he means like the Hebrew shalom, which means abundant goodness. So he has appeared to them, and his first words to them are, abundant goodness to you. In other words, my kingdom, I give you my kingdom, my abundant goodness, I give it to you. That's with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed. I think we got glad there, is it? Overjoyed. You would be overjoyed. Partly because their dear friend Jesus was back. But more than that, they realized that everything that he had said to them before the cross is true. His resurrection life authenticates everything that he said beforehand. Everything that he did beforehand. He has shown them a kingdom kind of life. He's shown them an inexplicable life. And now he's back after death. And he's saying, all of that is true. See, I'm here. I'm showing it to you. A different kind of life. Verse 21. Again, Jesus says, peace be with you. He's trying to make a point, isn't he? Saying it twice. Peace, my abundant goodness is with you. Is with you. It's not just, you know, sometimes we can say phrases. We're really good at doing that in the church. Saying phrases that sort of go over our heads. You know, words like peace, words like blessing. They're like words that are just nice churchy words, but they don't actually do anything, do they? Well, Jesus is saying, my peace, my abundant goodness is with you. It's having an impact. It's doing something. I remember many years ago, I went to a conference when I lived in the UK. And it had been 4 days of this conference. And by the end of the 4 days, I was absolutely exhausted. I wandered outside of the conference hall at the end of the last session. And I could barely keep my eyes open. And there was a whole group of us there together. And one lady came out with me, and she looked at me and she said, God bless you. And she sort of did that with her hand. God bless you. And she really felt that God had put that on her heart to say to me, God bless you. And as soon as she said it, I felt this like refreshing energy come into me. It was like the blessing that she gave me was real. It impacted me. And you know, the words that we use have an impact on people, don't they? The words that we use to each other, for good and not so good. And so here Jesus is saying, my abundant goodness is with you. In other words, the kingdom of God, my goodness, my provision, my blessing is actually here available to you. Here available to you. Do you want some? Do you want some? That's what he's saying to them. And then he carries on. Verse 22. And with that he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. That's interesting, isn't it? I think this is an echo of two things when it says he breathed on him. First of all, right back in the book of Genesis, it says there, Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then what did he do? He breathed into him and made him a living being. God breathed into man to create. Then there's another occasion where it's important. It says that Jesus on the cross breathed his last. We looked at that on Good Friday. He breathed his last breath as the incarnate Christ on earth in flesh and blood. His last breath was at the cross. And now right here, he's now breathing on them again. And now instead of just breathing life, he's breathing his spirit. He's breathing his spirit upon them. Everything that he has taught them about life in the kingdom, the inexplicable life, he is now saying, receive it. Receive the resurrection life. Receive from me. That word receive is really important for us to understand. Receive. So if someone on your birthday gives you a present, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. Okay, and it's quite a passive thing, you know. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Another pair of socks. How lovely. Just what I need. And so we receive something. But the word Jesus is using is got a different meaning to just receiving it. The word actually in the Greek or Aramaic is biadzo. I absolutely love that word. I want a t-shirt with that word on. Biadzo. B-E-A-D-Z-O. Biadzo. And what it means is to take. Take. It doesn't mean just receive. Oh, thank you. Something very passive. It's actually take. It's take hold of. It's breathe in. Do something active that you receive from me. Take it from me. And that's a different way of thinking, isn't it? As I've been a pastor for many, many years, and I often at this point, people say to me, oh, I'm open. I'm open to whatever God wants to do. And that's so passive, isn't it? It's like, I'm not going to pursue anything. I'm not going to reach out for anything. I'm just, you know, if he wants to, he can do whatever he wants. I'm open. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, receive, take, breathe in what I'm giving you. My kingdom, my abundant goodness, my provision, my healing, my forgiveness, my wisdom for you. All the things that you need to live this kingdom life is with you. Take hold of it. Take it. And so just as I finish, I'd like to say a few things about how we do that. How do we receive? How do we take it? Okay? It's really simple. Jesus has demonstrated a life of prayer. He's shown us that the way to receive is to ask. The economy of the kingdom of God is all about asking. Think of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. Your kingdom come. That's an ask, isn't it? That's a request. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Give us today what we need today, the daily bread. Forgive us our sins. They're asking things, aren't they? And so That's how we receive from him, is that we ask him. We say, Lord, today, please give me what I need to live this inexplicable life, to live this kingdom life. Give me your presence. Give me your wisdom. Give me your help. Help me to live this. And in doing so, in asking, there is permission for him then to give. He's very kind. He doesn't force anything on anybody. He won't force his kingdom. He won't force his blessing. He won't force even the very loveliest of things upon us. He always waits to be asked. He always waits to be asked. There's a few exceptions, perhaps, in the Bible. Some would say that the Apostle Paul, riding out on his horse to Damascus, didn't have much choice about what then happened to him. But actually, if you think about it, Saul, as he was previously known, had spent a life seeking God in his own way. So he was really asking for more. He just didn't know quite what he was going to get. And so to receive from this very kind God who wants to give and bless, he waits for us to ask him. And the asking gives him permission then to give. And so we celebrate today, Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead, which authenticated everything that he had said beforehand. The resurrection life, the inexplicable life that he demonstrated before the cross, he is now authenticating and saying, this is real, this is true, and what's more, it's right here with you. Now, has that ever been rescinded? Has that ever been taken back? Has Jesus ever said, is there a scripture in the Bible, is there any verse that says that is no longer true? No. Everything he said there is the same for us as it was for them. He's saying to us, receive my Holy Spirit. He's saying, my peace, my abundant goodness is with you today in the same way. And so, what do? We ask. We ask him. We ask him with that anticipation, with that hope, with that expectation that he will give what we ask for. So I'd like us to pray before we do a final song. You guys, you want to come up? Carmen, do you want to? No, Carmen's gone out. We're going to do a final song, but I just would like us to pray for a couple of minutes. If it helps you to close your eyes, do. If it helps you to open your hands out to the Lord, then you can do that. These are just ways that help us to pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we remember and celebrate that you rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you authenticated everything that you said before the cross. You demonstrate, Lord, that that is true and real today. And Lord, today your abundant goodness is available to even us here in this hall in Sanssouci. Your peace, your kingdom, your Holy Spirit. Lord, you're not distant and remote and a long way away from us. You are right here today with all that that means. It's just as though you have appeared right in the middle of us. And I pray, O Lord, that you would stir that sense of hope and faith and expectation in people's hearts, that we don't need to live this life on our own. We don't need to try and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but that we can walk in relationship with you and you provide your blessing and your help and your goodness. So I pray your blessing and your love upon each person here today. Amen.